The scripture reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. For it is not he who commands himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commands. Amen.
오직 주께서 칭찬하시는 자 첫 번째 시간에는
In the first session of those whom the Lord commands, I talked about the fleshly things that we have to cast away to be commanded by the Lord. First, that we shouldn't get angry or quarrel or become uncomfortable when we face problems. Many of you have already passed the rock of faith and you are going toward spirit and old spirit, so probably most of you have already cast away temper and anger. But still, if there are things that you don't really understand or things that give you people that who give you a hard time, then you might become uncomfortable or have hard feelings. But those who are good, those who are commended by the Lord, they wouldn't feel that way. They wouldn't have such feelings. We've seen it in the TV series, Shinsaimdang, a historical figure about a woman in Korean history. She didn't take it as a, even though she had enemies, I mean, she didn't consider them as enemies, but they opposed her so much, but she still didn't stand up against them. So let me introduce to you, share with you one event where she didn't have any, she didn't have any problems, any troubles with, even though it was a kind of case where she would find it very difficult. She was making papers. She was producing papers. Her factory became good at it. She would receive help from, like in today's sense, street bums. They were like homeless people. But there was another producer of papers. So they were in competition. So the other party, they were actually having the monopoly of the paper industry. So Shin Saimdang, she came in to play, came in, and she was also producing papers. So the other party, they sued and reported about this street bum, these homeless people, because they actually had a lot of debts to many people. That's why they became homeless and they were running. But in so that they wouldn't be able to produce any more papers. But Shin Saimdang, in her case, she didn't want to, it was never her intention to use them, these people, these homeless people. But as they were, anyway, put in jail, Shin Saimdang asked the officials to release them because they didn't do anything wrong, and they said it's not right. They couldn't do it because they have a lot of debts. So she said she would put up her properties, houses, and some lands as collateral so that they would be released. But that amount was not even close to enough. So she said, if you give me just a couple of weeks, I will pay it back. I'll pay them back all of them. If you seek your own just a little bit, you know it's almost impossible, virtually impossible to pay back so much debt. And the husband, he was trying to run away. But when he found out about this, but Shin Saimdang, she wanted to share this. She wanted to help these people because she had a lot of compassion. She didn't think about herself at all. She didn't think about her own well-being at all. So she put up everything she had to save them, to help them. So finally, they were released, and on the condition that they should pay back all their debts, such a great amount of debt. that they owed to the country and the government and other people. So they had a way, actually. If they made this best quality paper, they could supply it to the government and make a lot of money so that they could pay back all the debt. Because the government was in so much need of this best quality paper. So they made a public announcement that they were looking for the producers who could make this best quality paper. So Shim Sai-dang thought it was her chance. And they finally were able to make this. But the other party, they were creating schemes so that these Shin Sai-dang, they couldn't supply. They couldn't compete in the competition to select the paper. But anyway, long story short, they could supply it. So now they had the final round to decide the best out of two. So there was this paper from Shin Sai-dang and the paper from the other party. So they had to decide which one to choose. And the second place would count for nothing because only the first place, they would be able to supply it to the government. And in that final stage of selection, that was before the king. And they had to paint on the papers they produced. So they had this watercolor and black ink and various colors. Shin Sai-dang, she was a painter. And the other party, she was also a painter. But the other party, they put the vinegar in the watercolor. So Shin Sai-dang found it out when she was about to begin her painting. And the watercolor wouldn't be soaked, be put on the paper. So she immediately realized it was the other party's scheme. And she could have just explained it, depending on the goodness you have. But what would you have done if you were in her shoes? Some people, you thought she could have reported to the king because she was right in front of the king that there was this vinegar in her watercolor. But if she did that, it was to reveal the evil of the other party, and of course she knew it would cause harm to others. So she didn't make any problem out of it. She just kept quiet about it, and she just drew with black ink. And she got the first place anyway. And she was asked why she didn't use so many colors. So there, she could have explained everything. Because she was put in a very difficult situation because of the scheme of the other party. But she didn't reveal. She just said, I just drew it simple. You know, the beauty of simplicity. Did you feel it was kind of, why wouldn't she do that? If you reveal the evil of others, it means they were going to be harmed because they were competing before the king. So if she said, my watercolor, there is vinegar, and I can paint it on the paper. And there was also a messenger from China, Ming Dynasty. And if the evil scheme of the others, if it was revealed, would you be at comfort? You know, those who are good, they don't hate even evil people. So even though evil people are causing harm to you, you don't hate them. You don't hate them back. You only worry about them. And you worry about, you are concerned about their well-being. So you don't want them to be harmed in any way. So that is why you just cover their faults. This is the goodness that God can command. You know, if you reveal those who cause harm to you, you talk about it, you spread the news, and if they face countermeasures, if you know, you take countermeasures, and if they get what they deserve, and you feel they deserve it, and it's not good. No, you don't want them to suffer. Even though they are evil, even though they are causing harm to you, you just try to help them. This is the goodness that God is looking for. So let us think about, do we have this kind of goodness, or we are very short, or we are a little short of this kind of goodness? So let us think about ourselves, cast away evil as quickly as possible, and cultivate goodness that God is pleased with. Secondly, to be commended by the Lord, we shouldn't have any regrets, resentment. Even though others are saying evil things toward you, about you, you shouldn't have any resentment. You don't even have to feel disappointed or resent the fact that they are saying evil things about you. If they say evil things and if they are getting angry, it means they are just doing evil things. Your feelings do not have to get offended or agitated. And if other people do evil things, and then your feelings are also hurt. It means you are narrow-minded to that extent. Even though others are doing a lot of evil things, your feelings do not have to be hurt or offended. What has it got to do with your feelings, even though others are doing evil? So your feelings shouldn't be offended or affected. That's to be broad-hearted. So if you don't just have, if you just don't have this resentment, you'll be at comfort most of the time. But if you have this resentment, depending on what others are doing to you, your feelings will be hurt, affected, offended, and so many other things. So once you're happy, and at another moment, you're unhappy, and it goes back and fro. We should realize that if we are like this, and we have a narrow-mindedness. And third, to be commended by the Lord, our hearts shouldn't be agitated just because of little joyful things and little sad things. If our hearts are moved very quickly, it means we are narrow-minded. Depending on the size of the vessel of the heart we have, we can have this, the extent of being affected is different. Those who are commended, you know, just because they are commended and praised a little bit, you know, they brag about it. You know, they can't control it. And they are so happy they can't control themselves. So they are so happy. So they talk about it to so many people. So this is to be narrow-minded. But those who are broad-minded, they, even though they are praised, they just accept it with a kind of an embarrassed heart. Also thankful heart. They are thankful, but also they feel embarrassed because they are praised. And they don't think it's enough. They check themselves once again. Even though if they receive 10 commendations, they really think about if they deserve to receive such commendation for all of them. They try to check if that praise and that commendation is supposed to go to some other people, then they don't truly, genuinely, they don't accept it. And they say, rather than me, it's somebody else's. This person helped me. And that is why this work could have been done. So this is to be broad-minded. Even though they are commended, they still try to look for a room for improvement so that they can keep on improving. But those who are narrow-minded, once they are praised, commended, they become boastful and they brag about it. And they don't look into themselves. They don't check themselves. And they might even become arrogant. So those who are proud, oh, I can do this, and they're not able to do it. And they try to teach others. And actually, they have just a few things that they are good at. And they deserve just a praise. It's just about a couple of things. But they think they are great. And when they make mistakes, they don't really care about it because they think they are good, and these mistakes they don't take place often. So also those who are narrow-minded, when they receive rebuke or they are pointed out of something, you know, they try to stay away from these people who point out things about them. So because their feelings are hurt. So if they are scolded for something, then disciplined for something, then they can just do better in those areas. But they lose strength, and even about the things they have been doing well, they don't do it. They don't do them anymore because they lost heart. So what happens when you raise your children? You sometimes try to discipline them because you are concerned about their well-being. But if they just try to run away from you, you'll be heartbroken. And if those who are higher in hierarchy, if they try to reason with them, point out some things to make things better, then if they just try to run away, then there's no improvement. In case of a narrow-minded people, if they are pointed out for 10 things, then they will lose heart and they will just stumble. So they also they are hard on themselves and they lose heart and they lose strength and they can't go on anymore. But those who are broad-hearted, they are thankful when other people point out something out of them. So because they now realize what they can improve, so they keep on improving these things. So after 1 month, 2 months, a year, then they become even more capable. So when we try to take up a new job, who will be good at a new job from the beginning? So you have to be taught, you have to be disciplined, sometimes you have to be scolded for some of the things. Then if you just accept them and improve yourself, then you'll get better. You'll become a better person. But if you don't like being pointed out, or if you don't like being disciplined and trained, then there's no improvement. Sometimes when you do something, sometimes you might have to face criticism. You know, everybody has a different opinion. You like something, but the others, they don't like it. And you find it delicious, but some others, they don't find it delicious. So everybody has different taste and different opinion. So those who are broad-hearted, you know, they listen to other people's opinions too. But if we have this kind of heart, then of course we think we are broad-hearted. But what I'm going to talk about is a different sense. When there is some criticism, sometimes you have to forget about them quickly. In some cases, what does that mean? Those who are broad-hearted, they have to listen to other people's opinions. So why am I saying that sometimes you have to forget about other people's criticism quickly? It's when other people speak criticism out of evil intentions, out of envy and jealousy. You don't have to keep them in mind. You have to just hear it and forget about it. That's when you can do great things. There are evil people in the world. You know, they create false rumors, this and that. They try to bring down the name of other people. So you don't have to care about those words. If you listen to all those words and keep them in mind, how hard would it be? So if that is a that case, if it is that kind of case, if it's evil words coming out of envy and jealousy, you have to forget about them as quickly as possible so that you can do greater things. So of course you have to listen to other people's opinions, but listening to other people's opinions doesn't mean you have to listen to groundless criticism and accusations too. So you have to discern between these cases and forget about groundless criticism and judgment. Of course, broad-hearted people, they will listen to other people's opinions. So you have to listen to them, but you have to have the discernment. You don't have to listen to unnecessary people. And it's just they are criticism for the sake of criticism. So in those cases, you don't have to listen to them. So that you can do greater things. This is the kind of case that happened to me too. When I first began my praise ministry about a dozen years ago, it's not because I was good at singing or praise leading, but because there was nobody, I suddenly had to lead the praise. I had to become the praise leader. And after a couple of months, several months, I thought it was temporary, but I had to keep on doing it. Of course, at first I lacked a lot of things. So I heard that I heard both good and bad reactions. You know, I was too bad. I was not good at all. Not many people were saying it, but because I was still narrow-minded, I was paying attention to these words a lot more. Because I myself knew that I wasn't good. I wasn't good at singing or I wasn't good at praise leading. So I felt it was kind of hard. And right at that moment, senior pastor said to me, in our church, because we are not a communist party, we cannot satisfy everybody. We just try to satisfy as many people as possible. So you don't have to be so offended by those who are criticizing you. I didn't consult him on this matter. You know, I didn't say anything about it to him. I didn't even express it to him. But still, as if he read my mind, he said it. He advised me. So I kept it in my mind. And in my ministry, I applied it in many other aspects. There are people who like me, who don't like me, who welcome me or who don't. There are so many kinds of people. But what I can do is, I can just try to bless as many people as possible. And even if they don't like me, I shouldn't dislike them back. But I can just accept them, that they can do it. You know, and try to lead them into a better way. And that became my prayer point. And whenever I face some difficult people or difficult situations, and when we have to compromise and with other people and come to an agreement, that's what I kept in my mind in his advice. And those words, they kind of sometimes became kind of a spur to me, for me. So it gave spur to my ministry. I try to improve myself even more. And if those words were groundless accusations, I had to forget about them. So that's the kind of advice a senior pastor gave me. So the same can be applied to you. When you do your ministry, when you do God's work, when you do voluntary services, sometimes you have different opinions. But they can say this and that, so many kinds of things. Of course, you have to listen to them. And you can take only what is necessary, only what is meaningful. You know, having different opinions doesn't mean everything is meaningless and useless. But of course, you have to listen to other people's opinions. and you have to pay attention to them so that they can give you advice. But there are people who speak these, say these groundless accusations, criticism, out of envy and jealousy, out of evil intentions. And in this case, you don't have to listen to them. You don't have to, you don't have to care about them. You have to forget about them as quickly as possible. Even in communist party, communist country, they have dissatisfaction, but they can't, it's just that they can't express it. Anyway, so, anyway, what we can do is care for everybody. But just don't take their word for it if they have evil intention, if they are groundless accusations. Also, those who are bird-hearted, they exercise self-control. They don't act out of a momentary impulse. Those evil people, they can't control their feelings, so they act on the spot. But those who are excellent, those who are good-hearted, they don't do that. And they, because they can control their feelings, they try to pursue peace. So we can see many examples in the history too, who contributed to the country with their excellence, and they understand everything in managing the country and managing their organization. So to find out whether we are broad-hearted or narrow-minded, we can see whether we can control our feelings, whether we have self-control over ourselves. Those who are great, the size of the vessel of their heart, you know, even though they face little things, little joyful things or little sad things, their mind is not agitated very quickly. Suppose they receive some accusations or criticism, but that their hearts are not affected. And even about big things, not just the little things, but even about big things, their hearts are not affected very easily. That is why they can do big things, great things. Even though they are groundlessly accused, or even though they are praised greatly, their hearts are not affected so easily. If you look at the historical figures, even though they are accused so much, and if they, as long as they didn't do anything evil, they are calm, they have peace. Even though they are being sentenced to death, they are calm, and they just accept it. They just accept the situation. But those who are evil, they scream and they try to avoid it. They try to avoid this death sentence. So you can see this difference. Those who are innocent and those who have nothing to accuse themselves of, they are calm and peaceful. As long as they didn't commit any sins before God, they could be at peace, because God was protecting them. They believed heavenly being was protecting them. In the world, evil people, between the evil people, they try to kill, destroy each other. They don't try to understand and love the other party. But that's what we learn. That's what we learn in God, in faith. This is human cultivation. But those who are evil, of course, there are evil people. They might cause harm to you. But as long as you don't have anything to be accused of before God, you can just be at peace. You don't react with evil, because God is helping you believe, and you know God is helping you. In the Bible, those who are great, those who are recognized by God, and even though they were falsely accused, and even though they were at the threshold of death, they were calm. When Jesus was being arrested, Peter was afraid. So he denied the Lord three times. But after he received the Holy Spirit, and as he had love for God and the Lord, and as his sincere heart became more of a perfect heart, in any kind of situation, even though he was beaten or persecuted, he wasn't afraid at all, and eventually he took the, he was crucified upside down. What about Apostle Paul? He was beaten and persecuted. He didn't become sad or sorrowful. Eventually, he was put in jail and he received a death sentence and he had to be beheaded. And as he was walking toward the beheading place, he was still bold and peaceful, and he only thought about the love of God and the love of the Lord, and he just accepted it. This is the heart of a good, those who are good-hearted. Even though there are some joyful things, you don't express it so much. You know, if you are really broad-hearted. It's the same for both difficult things and joyful things. Even for difficult things, you don't express them. You don't express it. And about joyful things, you're not agitated or affected by it so much. Of course, you have to give testimonies and you have to give glory to God. Those who are narrow-minded, if there is a little bit of beneficial things, they are very happy, and if they are pointed out, if they are scolded just a little bit, they lose heart so much. So maybe if you look at other people's faces, you know if they are happy or unhappy. You know that they are having a hard time. Then it means that other person, it means he or she is a narrow-minded person. To be commended by the Lord, he needs to go through a little bit more training. Even when we have a difficult situation, we should rejoice all the time. But because it's hard, you know, it all shows on your face. Maybe you're boasting, bragging about your difficulties? No. It means you are giving a hard time to other people because you're showing that kind of negative feelings to others. Because it is also self-centeredness. It is also kind of a selfishness. Because you are showing your pouring down your difficult things on others. So to be narrow-minded, if you are narrow-minded, you lose heart easily. And water in a small pot, they boil easily and they cool down very easily. But the water in a very big pot, it takes a long time to boil, but it also takes a very long time to cool. So those who are narrow-minded, they try to reveal themselves. They kind of gift wrap themselves very well. But those who are broad-minded, broad-hearted, they have self-control even when they talk about themselves. But those who are narrow-minded, they brag about themselves. So in doing so, they cause difficulties on themselves. In case of Paul, he had a lot of knowledge, education, but he never showed it off. He never used it for his personal gain. So when some other, also Daniel, he had a lot of knowledge and education, but he didn't show it off. Just because he was loved by the king, he didn't try to show it off. And he, even though he was falsely accused by his competitors, political enemies, he didn't ask the king to save him. Even though he had just a lot of knowledge, he just used for the good of the country. Daniel didn't boast of himself. So that is why Daniel 6:4 says, then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. He didn't show himself off. He didn't brag about anything. He was the most prominent among the three prime ministers. He didn't look down on others. He didn't ignore others. If he did, they would have found some grounds of accusation. But Daniel never did that. So he never misused his authority. He never used any of his authorities to for his personal gain or for his fame or anything personal. So God only lifted him up. In case of Boaz, they didn't reveal their positions, power, so they touched the heart of others. And they moved the heart of others. So they were commanded by the Lord, and they received a lot of blessings. Just because they are commanded or they are blessed by God, their hearts are not moved very, agitated very quickly. And even though they are criticized or rebuked by others, they are not agitated quickly, easily. Not just about criticism. But sometimes there are people who lose heart, who lose joy, when there is no fruit in doing the work of God. Of course, we'd like to produce a lot of fruit, a lot of results when we do God's work. But we still have evil, and we don't have any blessings, we don't have any results. So that's why you can't go before the senior pastor, you can't go before God. And this is to be narrow-minded. With that kind of heart, even though you tried your best, you can't be commanded by God completely. And when we broaden this kind of mind, we can be used by God more as for a more of a noble purpose. If you have a mind of a narrow-minded person, can God be pleased? Can the Lord be pleased? He can't. It's the same between people. If others are narrow-minded and if they get offended even for very small things, and it's very hard to work with them. When you talk to them, you don't know when, at what point they will get offended. You know, the mood is good and everything is good, but everything seems to be good. But you don't know when they will get offended. You know, also, even though it's not between you and them, you know, they get offended at some place else and, you know, they show it to you. And you shouldn't be these people who get offended very easily. Even though you are in a very difficult trials, you shouldn't show it to other people. That's to be broad-hearted. So before God and people, we should have broad heart, and our hearts shouldn't be agitated quickly and easily. Those who are to be commanded by the Lord. Fourth, you shouldn't point it out, even though you can keep some things. You shouldn't point it out to others, even though they can't. Just because you can. If you do that, it means you are a judge. You are becoming a judge. You are standing above him. And nobody has received any authority or any power to judge others. So unless they are asking you for advice, you should never judge them. But sometimes as a leader, sometimes you have to teach them, sometimes you have to give explanation. That's when you just explain so that they can understand. But it should never be a judgment. It should never be accusation. When they ask you for advice, then you can explain. But even when you do that, you have to really try to explain it with love and desire that they will change. Sometimes you feel, I'm not pointing it out, I'm not judging. But you shouldn't cover it up. When you are actually, what you are doing actually is judging. You shouldn't just say, I'm just explaining. Explaining and judging are very different. First, the tone of your speech. What kind of tone do you have? If your tone is a bit agitated, or if you are looking down on the person a little bit, then it means it is coming out of your arrogance. And Or even though you are explaining with good words, with a soft tone, if your heart is thinking like, how come they are so lazy? How come they can do it? How come they're not able to do this? If you feel just a little bit of a, if you have a little bit of a discomfort, if just a little bit of uncomfortable feelings, it cannot change others. So of course, it is in the expression, but the more important part is your heart. What kind of attitude of heart you have when you give this explanation? If you have just a little bit of a discomfort, then it means you are judging. You are criticizing. You are accusing them. So that's the kind of attitude of heart you have to change. So what you have to do is cast away that evil from your heart. There are some people who do good, who do well. And there are others who don't. So about those who are not doing well, maybe you feel a bit uncomfortable about them. And when you point that point out, they don't listen to you. And they don't say amen. And your feeling becomes agitated. Then it means you're not really broad-hearted. And you're not giving advice with love. So if you say these things, then they will get, their feelings will be hurt. And they find it hard. So we shouldn't have any evil feelings. And when others ask you for advice, you may give advice, but you shouldn't be having the attitude of a teaching. You're not a teacher. It means you are above them. You should understand that, oh, I have faith. I practice this. I am keeping this. So I'm above him. That is not the word of God. That's what you have to understand. Also, there is one point you have to remember. In the Beatitudes, there is mercy. And in mercy, there is a mercy of punishment. In mercy, there is also punishment, not just accepting everything, but also punishing. But this is when, this is about when others are committing sins leading to death. They are going the way of death. Of course, then you have to rebuke them if necessary. You can't just leave them seeing they are going the way of death. They are falling into hell. Oh, you shouldn't feel, oh, if I say anything, they will be offended. It means you have no love. They are going the way of death by committing sins, grave sins. Then even by rebuking, you have to let them turn from their ways. But even though you have a good intention to change them, if you ignore them, if you think they are so evil, if you have any judgment in your heart, then it cannot change them. So, many leaders or pastors, those who are in teaching positions, they think they are explaining for the sake of others, but if they find it hard, you have to look back on yourself. Whether you had any teaching attitude or if you put yourself above others, if you had any uncomfortable feelings when you are giving this advice. So rather than 10 pieces of advice, you have to wait for them 9 times with prayers and then just give advice once. And that will be more effective rather than 10 times advice. So even though you don't point out anything or even though you don't criticize them, you might judge them with what you know in your mind and you are still judging. It means you are still judging and condemning. So if when we see problem of others, we cannot make any judgment on them. It means we are judging them. Sometimes it happens. Suppose somebody got sick or somebody got into an accident and you immediately think, oh, those people, they committed this sin and that's why they got sick. That's why they got into an accident. If you think this way, it is judging. Of course, we learn that accidents and diseases come from sins, but there could be many other reasons. You can never tell for sure why they're facing such a problem. You can never tell for sure. So to become broad-hearted, to increase your faith. Sometimes to make them broad-hearted, sometimes to increase their faith, these problems were allowed. Or to make them really men of faith, God allowed them. So we can never tell for sure. So just with our knowledge, we can never tell, oh, they faced this problem because of that sin. James 4:11 says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Especially those leaders and those who are especially in the beginning stage of spirit. It happens a lot. You judge others with what you know. You think you are discerning, but actually you are judging. So you think, oh, if they do that, they can come into spirit. They shouldn't be doing it. So you are teaching others, and you have a kind of a uncomfortable feelings because they can't do it. They don't live up to their potential. Because you have a greater faith, you have to humble yourself even more. And yet, you become a teacher and you point out things, you give advice, and you have to check whether you have become arrogant. Nobody is allowed to give any rebuke to others. So if you have that kind of desire, it has to go away. Sometimes you say others are arrogant. It means you are arrogant. That kind of word comes out from arrogance. Just because you are keeping the law of God, you think you're justified when you give advice to others. But when you give advice, they are in flesh, so they can't accept it. So there's a problem. Problem arises. So peace is not maintained. So those who are receiving advice, if they are men of truth, there wouldn't be any noise. But because they are still in flesh, they resent you or the situation or your advice. They think it is criticism. So whether they can accept it or not, God says that you should never give such advice. Just because you are practicing the law of God. The truth is to serve others. Serving comes from respect for others. And how, if we respect others, how can we see their spots, blinks? And even though we can see them, being able to see those blemishes itself is hard. It's hurting. And if you point them out, it means you are looking down on them. If you really respect others, you will see only good points in them. Jesus did not quarrel or argue. He didn't snuff out a smoldering wick. He didn't break off a bruised reed. And he didn't look down on others in any words. He never offended other people's feelings. He always respected their character. So just like the Lord, when we respect others, the lower in order, they will respect the higher in the order. And just because we are practicing the law, if you point out, if you criticize others, it means it is coming out of evil. You're not justified when you give advice or criticism just because you practice the law. So we have to have the heart of the Lord and serve others with respect for others. This is the only way to be, this is the way to be commended by the Lord. Let me conclude the message. Even though you give a lot of offerings, even though you do a lot of voluntary works, as long as you have these fleshly attributes, you can't really receive blessings from God. But if you cast all these things away and become a broad-hearted person, then you can be commended by the Lord. And then you'll be able to receive amazing blessings. You can become a great person in the kingdom of heaven. And not just that, Whatever you pray for on this earth, you will receive anything. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So you will receive all the desires of your heart. And God will use such people and lift them up. Just like God lifted the Lord up who only followed the will of God. Philippians 2:9-11 says, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So just like the Lord, let us practice only in goodness, service, and humbleness so that we'll be all commended by the Lord. Let us be broad-hearted people who can be used for great purpose by God, great workers for the kingdom of God. For that, let us have broad heart that can accept everybody, where they can, everybody can feel happy with you, so that we can embrace and accept, embrace the whole world. When we do these things, we can embrace anybody coming from all over the world. There are such evil people too. There are people who only come to us for money. But if we have broad heart and embrace even evil people, any kind of people, then we can be used for a greater purpose. Then the darkness will go away. Enemy, devil, and Satan will go away wherever you go, and we'll be able to win so many souls. The Father, the Lord, and the Shepherd are looking for such people. Let us become these people who are worthy to be commended by the Lord. Let us have beautiful heart and broad heart and become main players in this world ministry. Let us pray together thinking about the message.
또한 오직 주께서 칭찬하시는 선한 마음은 어떠한지 우리의 마음을 더 살피어서 내게 부족한 것들을 고치게 하시고 내가 지키고 행한다 하여 남을 지적하고 책망하는 것이 아니고 가르치는 자가 아니라 도리어 겸비히 설명해주고 상대를 귀히 여기는 섬기는 큰 그릇 될 수 있도록 축복하여 주옵소서 감사드리며 우리 주
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let us receive the prayer for the sake of the senior pastor through video. Please lay your hands on your sick part, or please lay your hands on your chest for your desire and heart. Hallelujah! Almighty God, our loving Father, please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN Internet and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith who believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away, light come. Please scourge all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let no scar remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of the heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off the sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them all from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host and angels in you, with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.